In today's Mishnah, when the eighth and ninth Mishnah, the fourth Perek of Masechta Eliyot, and the Mishnah begins. Beit Shammai matirim et atzar la'achim beit Hillel osrim. So this Mishnah brings us all the way back to the beginning of Masechta Yevamot. If you recall, the mitzvah of Yibum is where a man passes away without having children, then the surviving brothers are required to perform either Yibum, when they effectively marry the widow here, or the process of Chalitzas, perform where she's free to marry who she pleases. However, if you also remember that if the wife, the surviving wife, the widow here, was actually related to one of the brothers, as in Isra'irah, for example, was his daughter, then she wouldn't require either Yibum or Chalitza. She'd be able to go and marry who she pleases. The debate in this Mishnah is regarding the Tzara, meaning the brother that passed away actually had two wives, one that was related to the brother, for simplicity was to assume there's one brother in this case, and the other one was completely unrelated. The debate is as follows. Koneh Beit Shammai, he says, Beit Shammai matirim et atzara la'achim. Despite the fact that the wife is related to brother doesn't require Yibum Chalitza, we view the Tzara completely distinct, meaning we treat it completely separately, and therefore the tzara would require either Yibum or Chalitza. According to Beit Hillel, however, Beit Hillel says, no, this woman is what's called a tzarat erva. This co-wife, rather than tzara, is the co-wife of the other wife who was forbidden by way of Yisro'ariot. And therefore she's also asur to the surviving brothers. So the debate really is regarding, once again for simplicity, is regarding this tzara. Despite the fact she's not related, by being a co-wife of this other woman who is related, is she asur to the surviving brothers? Again, Beit Shammai says she's requires Yibum Chalitza, whereas Beit Hillel says absolutely not. Next case, Chaltzu. What happens if one of the brothers goes ahead and performs Chalitza? According to Beit Shammai, posinim min hakohuna. Well, the other brother's done effectively the mitzvah. He's done, she required Chalitza, he's performed Chalitza. And therefore, since she's now defined as a Chalutza is not allowed to marry a Kohen. However, Beit Hillel says, despite the fact Chalitza has been performed, this Tzara didn't require Chalitza. And therefore, she'd be able to marry a Kohen because Zif Chalitza was never even performed. Next case, Nityabim. What if one of the surviving brothers went ahead and performed Yibum to this Tzara? So, according to Beit Shammai, Umachshirim, he's performed the mitzvah because she required the Yibum Chalitza. Whereas Beit Hillel says, Poslim. He says, absolutely forbidden. That is because since she's a Tzarat Erava, and the mitzvah Yibum doesn't apply, this relationship is an Isu Ariot, meaning this, under normal circumstances, one's not allowed to marry one's brother's wife. It's only in the context of Yibum. And since Yibum doesn't apply in this situation, it's a completely forbidden relationship. Just to explain the language of Machshim of Poslim, if after the brother performed Yibum to this Tzara, and then, again, this brother passed away, can this widow now marry a Kohen? According to Beit Shammai, well, she's only been involved in permitted relationships, so therefore she can marry a Kohen. According to Beit Hillel, since that second relationship between the brother and the Tzara was a Isur Arayot, it's as if she's had a relationship, or is considered she's had a relationship with someone forbidden to her, and she has a halachic status of a Zona, and a Zona is not allowed to marry a Kohen. Mishnah continues, Afal Pisha Elu Posim Beilu Machshirim. Despite the fact we find fundamental differences in these positions between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, Lo Nimna'u Beit Shammai Melesa Nashim Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai didn't hesitate in marrying or allowing marriages with families from Beit Hillel. And for Beit Shammai, you can imagine a situation where there's a Tzarat Erava. He might be concerned, maybe this woman was a Tzarat Erava, and Beit Hillel permitted her to marry without Chalitza. But Beit Shammai requires Chalitza. Nonetheless, they didn't hesitate and they allowed these marriages. The next case is, Belo Beit Hillel Milaseh Nashim Beit Shammai. And Beit Hillel also wouldn't have hesitated to allow marriages with a family of Beit Shammai. And that is despite the fact that the child in a situation where a surviving brother performed Yibum and had a child with the Tzarat Erava, the child would be a mamzer according to Beit Hillel. Whereas according to Beit Shammai, they find nothing wrong with that. Nonetheless, they wouldn't hesitate and they would allow marriages between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai and Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Importantly here, the Gemara would say, considering such substantial halakhic differences, why did they not hesitate? And that is because they used to let each other know. In other words, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel were both sensitive to each other's halachic concerns, and they knew how each of them behaved lach l'maisa, and therefore they would, if there was any marriages across communities, they would ensure that there was complete transparency and everyone's needs were looked after. That's why there would be no hesitation, because they would know that everyone would be up front with whether this union was okay, the kol adiot, according to everyone's opinion. Let's continue. Despite the fact we've seen that there are many debates between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel whether something's tamet and tahor, nonetheless, Misha says, Lo nimnula lihiyot osim tarot elu al gabe elu. They would still not hesitate in sharing kelim from one another, to go next door and borrow kelim from another, despite the fact that we know there are substantial differences. They might, according to the opinion of, say, Beit Hillel, when he goes to his friend Beit Shammai, that clearly could be tamet. Nonetheless, once again, due to the need and the desire to live together happily in harmony, they were concerned for each other's opinions and open and transparent so that they could live together comfortably. Let's learn Mishnah Tet. Shlosha Achim. We have three brothers. Shnei Mehem Shnesuim Shtei Achiot. Two of these brothers are married to two sisters. Echad Mufta and one was not married at all. Met Echad Mibala Echayot. And you might want to go back to the images we have, or the pictures that on the Mishnah website, for the Perek Gimel Mishnah Hey for this particular Mishnah in Masechet Yevamot. So back to this. We've got two brothers married to two sisters and one other brother who's not married to anyone. One of the brothers, Reuven, for example, the first brother who was married to one of the sisters, passes away. Vasa mufne ma'amar. And Levi, the third brother who is not married to anybody, he performs a ma'amar to the surviving wife of Reuven. So again, simplicity, Reuven, Shimon, Levi are the three brothers. Reuven's married to Rachel, and Levi's married to Leah. So Levi comes along and performs a ma'amar to Rachel, the surviving wife from Reuven who passed away. Now, if you remember, a ma'amar was a process that resembled Kiddushin that was introduced by the Chachamim prior to Yibum, to make it similar to Kiddushin in the process of a normal marriage. Really, for Yibum, it's simply they have relations together with intention for Yibum, and that would be sufficient. But really, in our Torah, the Ma'amar has no significance. So he's performed a Ma'amar. And then the second brother, Shimon, V'chachach met Echav Hasheni. And now the second brother passes away. So Beit Shammai says, Ishto Imo. Since Levi performed a Ma'amar to Rachel, it's as if they're married. V'hala and Leah, the sister, and the second Yavama in order, can simply tetzeh mishum achotisha. Because she's a sister of what is really considered his wife now, she doesn't require Yibum, she doesn't require Chalitza. And that is important here to understand that this is because Beit Shammai holds a Ma'amar, acquires like as if she's already considered the wife. However, Hillel says, no, absolutely not. A Ma'amar only acquires on a rabbinic level. And therefore, Min HaTorah, really, the situation we have here now is two sisters, Rachel and Leah, that both require Yibum. And each one of them is what's called Achot Zekukato. The requirement, the bond between them is the Zika, but he cannot perform Yibum to either one of them because they're the sister of another person he has a Zika to. So what does he do? So first, Motzeit Isho Beget V'Chalitza. But he has to perform Chalitza clearly because Yibum hasn't been done yet to make him his wife, but also requires a get. Now, why is a get necessary here? And that is because since a Ma'amar, as we said, is a rabbinic enactment that makes it like Kiddushin, you need a get, which is like a divorce contract, to effectively undo that. So you need the get to undo what's been introduced by the Ma'amar, and then Chalitza as well. That et eshet achiv, and here we're referring to the second wife, meaning the wife of Shimon, who we refer to as being Leah, she requires chalitza as well, because each achot zekukato requires chalitza. It's not really considered like an isur arayot, that she can be exempt without anything, but they both require chalitza. So for simplicity, once again, they both require chalitza, and he has to undo the ma'amar according to Beit Hillel by using a get. Zohi she'amru, a case like this is where the people would say, oy lo le'ishto, oy lo le'eshet achiv. Woe is to his wife and woe is to his brother's wife. Why is it woe? Why is it unfortunate? Because this brother, again, here we're talking about Levi, performed a ma'amar. He was very willing to go ahead and marry Rachel. However, as soon as Shimon passed away, and we've got this situation now, we've got two of these sisters require Yibum, and you can't do to both, or really to either, he loses, inverted commas, his wife, meaning he has to give her the get and perform chalitza, and also he cannot perform Yibum to the other wife, the wife of Shimon, because she also requires chalitza. Those are the Mishnah today.